Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
Welcome into Senior Moments. We are whole again. Joe Fortunato back in the studio with us. And his presence this holiday season just brings a little cheer to everyone. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Brian Sexton here with John Hozier, senior writer of this website. Speaking of holiday cheer, there's a lot of it being passed around right now relative to this football team, John. There's talk of the playoffs. There's talk of the number two seed. There's talk of how far can this team go. I mean, whew, slow it down. My head's spinning.
Well, no, don't slow it down. I get it. Slow it down.
Slow it down right now for our purposes so we
right.
can talk about it.
But, you know, something I've written several times this week and that, you know, as the game ends on Sunday, you sort of get your head around what everything means and what they've done, and you have a chance to, okay, let's get away from the moment, which was an incredible moment on Sunday, and figure out where you are. You start adding things up. Are the Seahawks good?
Yes.
Are the Ravens good?
They have proven to be. They didn't seem that way when we left
right.
London, but now they are.
Are the Chargers good?
Oh, yeah.
Are the Steelers good?
Yes.
Well, that's four out of their nine wins are against good teams. The Steelers, the last time they lost was to the Jaguars. The Steelers are playing as well as anybody right now.
Yes.
The Chargers have lost, I think it's two of their last seven. One of those games was out here in Everbank Field. Point being, sometimes teams are 9-4 and you get in this situation and you look and you say, well, I don't know. Maybe not. I've seen some national types sort of say that about the Jaguars. It's not true. You've got a 30-9 win over Pittsburgh. You've beaten Phillip Rivers. You've earned your way here. You've won six of the last seven. The only loss was a 57-yard field goal on the road where one of the touchdowns came after Telvin Smith was out, a big moment right there. You know, this is a good team, and they deserve to be talking about the number two seed. They deserve to be the three seed. They deserve to be a step away from the playoffs. All the things you talk about, this team's earned its way here.
So the step is if the Jags beat the Texans on Sunday, and I believe they will, they've got a playoff berth locked up for the first time since 2007.
And don't overlook that, by the way. A lot of people are talking about seeds this week. A lot of people are
right.
talking about, hey, can they get the number two? Can they have home field? Get in. Brian, this franchise can get in.
They can get in the week before Christmas.
Right.
Which, hey, I can remember you and I having a conversation in August. Maybe it was after the Carolina game thinking,
just get to 6 or 7.
Yeah. What is this team?
Right.
Right. Can they get to 8-8 this year and lift their foot? You know, you've always used the analogy that when you have, you know, consecutive six, double-digit lost seasons, just like your foot being stuck in the mud. And
get out of the abyss.
Yeah, can you get out of the abyss?
I said it over and over again.
You know, they're not only out of the abyss now. I mean, they are climbing to heights that neither one of us really want. We didn't even wonder whether it was possible this year.
No, I never thought about that.
No, we
didn't. Two seed, are you kidding me?
No, not at all.
I thought if they were getting in, they would be where the Raiders are right now. I thought they had a chance to be 6-7, and then you'd be holding your breath saying, all right, if they can run it. They're past the Seahawks now. If they can get the Texans, the Niners, the Titans, you looked at it and said, okay, they got a Niners game that before the season looked like one they should win, and you got two divisions left. I figured you'd be sitting there saying, it's still possible. And then after they were knocked out in week 16, you'd kind of bump your fist and go, hey, pretty good year.
Yeah.
That was what it looked like.
Well, that was conventional thinking, according to Jalen Ramsey, who, you know, last week, well-documented, you can see the website interview, where he says, y'all just keep hyping who you're going to hype.
Mm-hmm.
We were sorry last year, we're not this year, to quote young Mr. Ramsey. And the fact of the matter is we were looking at this team through a conventional lens, and they're not buying any of it. They have nothing. They are not related to last year
right.
or the previous years before, and they believe.
And that's the key. Think about how many guys were rookies first year here last year, or this is their first year. You're talking about Jalen Ramsey. You're talking about Deshaun Gibson. The entire secondary, you don't have to go through it. You're talking about Miles Jack. Malik Jackson fits into that. Ngakoue fits into that. Calais fits into that. All these major players. They've added 8 just since March who are major parts of their top 24 players. They have no relation
no.
to that. And I think that matters. I think that, you know, when you ask Jalen Ramsey or when you ask any of these guys, they don't – like, if you ask Fournette, he doesn't relate to anything that happened before. You know, and he's been quoted, not the same old Jaguars, but that's significant because these guys, Jalen, Fournette, guys like that, Marcell Dareus, for example, has no frame of reference in his football-playing life forever not being great, right? None of those guys.
No, they don't.
So why should they think, oh, we should be sorry? You know, and I think that matters very much to where this team is and where it's going.
Well, I go back to the 96 team a lot because that was the big team in this team's history. We talk about 99 all you want, but that 96 team was the great story. And you had guys like Keenan and Natron Means and Eddie Robinson and Clyde Simmons who all made big plays in that playoff run. And they were the guys that said, well, why not us? They stood in that locker room that year, and Keenan was the one who said it first, why not us? When the rest of us are like, well, it's only your second year, and you were an expansion team last year, and you were 4-7 at one point. And, well, why not us?
Right.
That's kind of, it's being reprised this year with a new cast of characters. And instead of a team that was 4-7, you got a team that's 9-4. So it's not completely the same,
right,
but that's the mindset in the locker room. So let me throw a scenario at you. And watching Monday Night Football and watching the Dolphins take advantage of both the offensive and defensive line to the Patriots leads me to believe that the Steelers are going to win on Sunday. If the Steelers win on Sunday and the Jaguars can beat the Texans, Niners, and Titans, mm-hmm, which they should be able to do, whether they do or not, to be seen, then the Jaguars are the number two seed, mm-hmm, right? So why not? Tell me why this team can't be the number two seed.
Oh, there's no reason they can't. Now, one X factor there is I understand on paper, et cetera, how the Patriots looked. They're very good historically against the Steelers. They have no qualms about going to Pittsburgh, and there won't be a player on the Patriots who has any doubt going to that game. They're going to win it. Wouldn't surprise you at all if they won it. So
no,
it that part might be taken out of the Jaguars' control.
Sure, it is.
So then
it
you
is.
Right. So then you worry about what can you if they get the two seed, meaning if they get in front of the Patriots, which could happen by the end of day Sunday. There is no reason in the world they can't do it, and there's no reason in the world they can't beat anybody in the playoffs, particularly New England, and I'll say that because of this. This pass rush, there are certain elements of teams that can take out opponents' strengths. If you reference, you know, when Brady lost to the Giants twice in the Super Bowl, I saw it several times when he was playing the Colts up close. Pass rush gets to any quarterback who can't get mobile out of the pocket. And, you know, we all know who those guys are, and Brady's one of them. If the Jaguars get the Patriots anywhere, it will be perceived pregame as, oh, Tom Brady, you can't. You know, this pass rush, if it's going right, can beat that team.
Well, Tom Brady at 40, and they went through all the numbers on Monday Night Football, and it's been a tremendous season. But he's a 40-year-old quarterback, not a 30-year-old quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And 40-year-old quarterbacks generally aren't as good as 30-year-old quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think he's...
You think he breaks that rule?
Yeah, I don't... I mean...
I guess what I'm saying is that...
He looked bad the other night. I get it, but...
Well, and I wasn't just basing it on that game. I mean, I get it. He's
right.
The numbers have been sensational, but, you know, at some point...
Right.
At some point, he's going to be hat.
He is. I don't think he's going to be... If the Patriots lose this year, and we're talking about the Patriots, but it matches up with the Jaguars, I don't think it's going to be because Brady's all of a sudden over the hill. But you have seen Denver 2 years ago, great defenses, and I don't even want to say that they bother Brady because that's not fair to Brady. Great defenses bother any offense. If you are a disruptive enough defense to truly be disruptive, which is to immediately take the offense out of what they want to do to stop the run, Jaguars on several occasions stopped the run very well the other day, force the Seahawks into a lot of 3rd-and-8 and 3rd-and-9s. If you force any team into 3rd-and-8 and 3rd-and-9 with this pass rush and the guys who cover in the back, the point being, take the Patriots out of the equation, this team, because of those elements, can play with anybody.
Well, and when you look at what they already have done in Pittsburgh, that gives you confidence that if you end up there, divisional or, you know, in an AFC championship type of setting, I'm lightheaded even saying that with this team right now.
All you want in the postseason is
a chance.
And this defense gives them a chance against anybody. Counterbalance that with, if this offensive line is what we saw Sunday, then they are the favorites.
They were that good on Sunday.
They were.
They were. I watched it field level. They were great.
Again, this is going to sound like, oh, John, a Jaguars, Homer, senior moments, you're nuts. But I'm not saying – I can't say that this offensive line is that because I've only really seen it once. But if what we saw on Sunday against what I still think is a good Seahawks defensive line, if Blake is getting hurried – it was one the other day. You're not going to hold teams to that. If Blake's getting protected like that and you're running for 4 or 5 yards a carry, which they did for the first time in a long time the other day, if this team's that and you've got that defense, you won't hear national talk about being the Jaguars the favorite, but you're sure going to see defensive coordinators and coaches getting ready for this team going, this is bad.
Right.
This is trouble.
Well, let me use an if. Because if, and we've seen it from Blake. I mean, I go back to the third quarter drive, 7 of 11 against the Chargers. I said to you, I thought we were talking about a guy who crossed the Rubicon, who was a rising quarterback, and then he had those two bad decisions late in the ball game. Then he came back and played well to get them into a position to win the ball game. But more often than not, in the second half of the season, we have seen Blake make strides, play better. And the last 2 weeks, the quarterback efficiency rating, you know, over 121, the types of throws, leading receivers for the first time, I think, in his career, where they can run, catch, and run, as opposed to run, stop, catch, run, which is, has been around here. If that's the case, if we see that, Blake, this is the most complete team in the AFC.
Well, absolutely.
Maybe in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Though I think the Rams would have a case to make with that.
No, outside of the Ravens, no contending team can roll the defense out that this team rolls out. It's healthy. It's
getting Telvin Smith back this week.
All the things. I mean, it's at full strength right now, knock on whatever this is.
For Micah.
The Blake issue is intriguing because I kept saying for the 4 or 5 weeks before these last 2 weeks, you kept having to couch it by saying there are stretches where he's playing really well. And then San Diego at the end, or Los Angeles, whoever they are, and Arizona at the end, the two bad interceptions. So you couldn't sit there and say he was saying well. You couldn't sit there and say he was playing well. At the same time, you also had to think to yourself, I'm saying he's playing well for stretches. I never said that before.
Right.
So he was doing something in that 6 weeks that he hadn't done in his first 3 years, that when you package that with these last two,
he's stacking them up.
He's playing better for long stretches than he's playing poorly. And I didn't say that well, but he's
no, I get it.
Long time,
he's showing you what he can be. Instead
right,
he's of
showing
had a couple
of brain fade plays before. He had brain fade plays, and he was inaccurate.
Right
now, he's doing it all except for a few things.
I got to tell you too. I got to come to his defense on that. That interception in Arizona. The timing of it stinks, but you're talking about a Pro Bowl player.
Right.
I was standing on the sideline watching this come down the field towards me, and I saw Matthew hiding behind one of the defensive linemen and waiting for the last minute to step in there. That was a Pro Bowl play.
It was a great play.
It
he
was,
also
the timing
had
stinks,
blitz.
But it was not a stupid, it was not a thoughtless like the two here against
two
San Diego. Not the same play at all.
Were awful. Both of the ones against the Chargers were awful. And he pressed at that moment. It was a step back, whatever. But if you take this kid's 13 games this year, the moments, he has infinitely more big-time moments, big-time looks than he's had. 2015, don't even worry about it because most of that was not as good as what we've seen this year. It's not a comparison to me.
Well, say this too. You look at a lot of quarterbacks around this game who were thought to be the up-and-comers. Where's David Carr this year, right? He got the big $25 million, made him the highest-paid quarterback in the game contract. Last year, everyone wondered whether Cam Newton was going to be able to rebound and play as well as he did in 15. So what we've seen here is a guy who's come along more slowly than most, but consistently getting better here late in the season when it matters the most. Hold your water on this guy.
Sure.
Let's not go back to the Eli Manning card and any of that nonsense. Blake Bortles has a chance to cement himself if he takes this team where he has the last 2 weeks over the next three.
And if, to me, the fact that you're now looking at an offensive line and a quarterback that gives you hope a few weeks ago, you thought, how in the world are they going to score? That was
right.
You know, this great.
Because everyone's going to stack the box and they can't throw.
Now they're dangerous because if they get in the playoffs, it's not an offense that you feel like, I know what they're going to do. But you feel like they can do it.
Yeah.
And you're not surprised anymore when they score points. If this offense gets 10.5, I don't think they lose.
Hey, one more thing on Bortles that stands out. A couple weeks ago, we had these young receivers, and you wonder how Keelan Cole, who was playing Alfred State, mm-hmm. if you remember, I mentioned that a couple of times, last season at this time, and Dede Westbrook, who has played in 4 NFL games, fourth-round pick.
Was not great in practice in the preseason. He was good against threes, but had not shown that much.
So two guys that you
playing.
Couldn't reasonably count on,
right?
All of a sudden, the last 2 weeks, they have exploded for 128 and 180 yards, right? That's Bortles. I mean, they have stepped their game up, but there's only so far you can reasonably mm-hmm. expect them to do it. He is playing the game to their strengths. He is leading them. He is giving them a chance. He's throwing them open.
Well, he was doing that for a couple of weeks when they didn't help him out. And I think, again, it's team sport. All comes together.
Bortles is playing well. The offensive line is playing well. The defense, it's going to be fun. This week against the Texans, regular season finale at home. I think there's a really good chance of a home playoff game. So come on out, folks, and enjoy it. It's a whole lot more fun than it has been in a long time.
And don't lose sight. They have a chance to clinch a playoff spot at home. Even when you're good, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes the clinching comes on the road. Sometimes it happens. This is a chance to be a big moment.
And, a big moment with the fans. I had a couple players in the locker room, prominent players, tell me that whole skirmish with the fans and Quentin Jefferson bonded. The players saw that, and the immediate feeling was they have our back.
No doubt.
They're willing to fight for us. We'll go fight for them. This is going to be fun. And especially on the heels of the whole anthem thing and how divided the fan base and the players were for a while, if they've come back together as this team is rising into a playoff mode, boy, the late part of December and January around here could be as good as it's been in a long, long, long time.
Long time.
Long time. John Osier, thanks so much.
All right, buddy.
Joe Fortunato, glad you're back. We missed you. That's Senior Moments for this week.